Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Hey everyone, it's David. It's crazy to think that we're nearly through the first month of 2019. Time sure does fly when you're making a transformation. For today's episode, I'm very excited to share with you another interview I did recently with a good friend of mine and someone who's helped me in my business. His name is Chris Winfield. Chris, known as the Super Connector, founder of Unfair Advantage and columnist for Entrepreneur and Inc. magazines, knows this. Looking out for yourself will only get you so far, but building relationships will get you further. I hope you enjoy our conversation. And also, don't forget to join us on our Transformation 2019 Facebook group and make your transformation known so we can all support each other. Join in the conversation there and claim what you desire in the year ahead. You can find the link in the show notes. Now let's get to this week's mover and shaker, Chris Winfield. Hey, everybody, this is David Nagel, and welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today, my guest is my friend and my mentor, Chris Winfield, the founder of Unfair Advantage Live. He is the publicity expert extraordinaire and super connector. So, Chris, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you so much, David. I am so humbled to be here and also to just hear that amazing intro. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Absolutely. So let's get started. So, you know, I wanted to, you do so many things really well. I don't know that I've ever met somebody as connected as you are. Like, you know so many people and you're able to make these extraordinary connections for people in business and personal to expand what they're doing and their reach and their possibility and allow them to become more successful, because I mean, we know that we have to meet the right people in life to be able to move forward. What is that always been a gift for you? Have you, or is that something you cultivated over time?
Yeah, I think it was something that came easy, and it was also one of those things that I never thought was worth anything. So we talk about like superpowers or, you know, trying to figure out what that is. And it was always something that came easy, but I never thought that that would ever be part of my career or anything like that. I was always in many different groups growing up and everything like that.
Yeah. So the, you know, when, you know, in doing that and helping you help people get publicity so that they can expand their reach and be, and, you know, and be seen in their careers. What is the most difficult thing that people have to embrace or overcome in order to be able to do that? What do you find is the biggest challenge for individuals?
The idea of I'm an imposter. And just the mindset side. So it's amazing. Like, this is why we vibe so well, is that everything, I think, comes back to that, the mindset. And I have seen this at every level of success. So, and one of my favorite stories about this is a friend of mine is a he's an actor, and at one point he had the highest rated show on cable, the highest paid actor on cable TV. It's a show that you've all, you know, seen, and if I told you, I'll tell you after who it is. I don't want to share it publicly, but he you know, and he was the highest paid actor on TV, and you know, he still had this idea that, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. One day they're all gonna figure it out. I don't know what I'm doing. And he said it got so bad. One time he had bought a brand new house in LA, amazing house, like a dream house. He's at the top of his profession, still in the back of his head, I'm a fraud. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, even though everyone's saying, you know exactly what you're doing. We want to pay you more and more and more.
Yeah.
He said he got up in the middle of the night one night. He's going to the bathroom and he walks by. He just bought this brand new dining room set. He's like, he looked over and it was as if the dining room table was talking to him, saying, who the fuck do you think you are? We all know that you don't know what you're doing. And he had this realization for some reason, like, it's all an inside job. It's all an inside job. And if he like he had to start doing actual work on himself. So the reason I use that example is because I think it's like real easy for I always used to think like if somebody's like super rich or super famous, their life's perfect. It's so easy. They never have any lingering doubts or anything, right. Which is, you know, it's not the case. And we all have all of this stuff. And that's the biggest thing is helping people to get past that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you would think that somebody like that who is the epitome of what the regular world sees as successful, they don't have those insecurities or there's something superhuman or special about them. And we don't realize that a lot of times they're even more insecure and they're fighting a battle every day just to get themselves to do what we think is so brilliant. And not that it's not brilliant. It is brilliant. But you went through some of that yourself, right? Like you had to make some major life changes in order to step into your greatness. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. Well, I go through it every single day, 50 times a day. So, I grew up, you were talking earlier about like childhood stuff. And I grew up in an area of New York called Tuxedo, New York. And that's where the Tuxedo came from. And Tuxedo Park has it's like the richest private town or public town or something. It had an actual gate to get into Tuxedo Park. Oh, wow. And it's, you
I
know,
didn't
lots
know that
of.
That's where the Tuxedo came from. Yeah. That's good to know.
I hope it is now that I said that. I'm pretty sure. Just kidding. And there's lots of actors and, you know, just super rich people that live there. And there's an actual gate where you would have to go in. Now, I did not live inside of the gate or Tuxedo Park. I lived literally on the other side of the tracks.
Okay.
And the reason I bring this up is that I can remember at 6 years old going up to the gate. And if you lived in Tuxedo Park, they would raise the gate as soon as you go in. If not, if you didn't, you'd have to announce yourself and they'd call somebody to make sure that you're legit. Now, I didn't have a lot of money growing up or anything. And, you know, we definitely had a lot of money stories, as you always talk about. And I remember at like about 6 years old feeling this like shame of, wow, you know, that just something felt so off about having not living there, having to stop, announce myself, being in like my parents' van and all this. Now, I don't think it bothered anyone else in my family, but it always bothered me. And I also had this belief everyone in that park was happy. Everyone in the park was unbelievably happy. They were all unbelievably rich. And so I also then equated money with happiness. So I created a company, eventually I had one job in my life and where I learned everything not to do.
Well, let me just pause and ask you a question really quick, because you said something interesting. Any idea what caused you to think that those people were happy because they had money?
I think that part of it was how my parents would act differently around people that had money. And I think observing that and, you know, almost like, all right, they're better. And so I think I internalized that. I'm very highly emotionally sensitive, all this.
Yeah.
And I think I saw that and brought that in. And it's funny, I never really thought of it, but I'm pretty sure that that's where it came from.
Do you think your parents were happy? Your parents?
Not completely. They're much happier now.
Much happier now.
Yeah.
But then they weren't as happy as they are now, and they would literally change their behavior, the way that they were being when they were around these people.
Definitely.
Okay.
100%. So I think I brought that in and thought that, all right, the being rich equals being better equals being happier.
Wow. That is really interesting. Okay, so go on.
So I have one job ever. So everyone in my family had worked in a school system. They were all either school psychologists or, you know, things like that. I was the first person to not work in a school system. Forget being an entrepreneur. The first one to not work in a school system. And I had a job, a web development company. It was the only job I ever had in my life. And it was right towards the end of the dot-com days. And I definitely thought that this was it. This was the ticket. And it was the shadiest company. So I'd got brought in by a family friend who at the time was a big exec, pharma exec. Now, 6 months into this company, he was one of the founders. 6 months in, he was in rehab. He had a terrible coke problem. He had left his family. And he was, out of the four partners, he was the most stable. So one of the guys was literally like the number four guy at Stratton Oakmont. Like all these like crazy people that I didn't realize any of this. So I learned all these things not to do. They were selling websites for like $100,000 that would get people nothing. So I wound up leaving that company, starting my own web design company, and really started learning about marketing because I saw that people got nothing from their investments because they didn't know any. There was no marketing thought. So I started learning about search engine optimization, all this stuff. That company for a long time, you know, a year or so, I was really broke. Then I started getting lots of publicity, getting lots of huge clients from that, all these different things, speaking, started to make a lot of money. And I would set the goalpost for, you know, say a million, whatever. And then I'll be happy when I hit this.
Okay.
And then I'd be happy when I had hit that for 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And then it would raise again. I remember actually one time, the first time I bought a nice car, it was a BMW. And I remember driving it off the lot in New Jersey. I was living in Brooklyn at the time and driving it off the lot and thinking, all right, I feel great about this. I'm driving. 20 minutes, I was like, it's gone. I'm still me. So I always just had this thought of that. And then I was going to just about to sell. This company became very successful. We had huge clients, and all this. And I was just about to sell the company. And this was in about 2008. And instead of selling the company, what I decided at the last minute was I'm going to create a bigger company. I created a bigger web development company with just a bunch of competitors, did it very quickly. And it grew to about 100 people. You know, on the outside, everything looked amazing, super successful. But then at one point, I hated what I was doing. I didn't like the people I had brought in. I didn't like anything about it. I wasn't in a good place in my life, my head. And what I decided to do was I stopped doing all the things that worked really well for me leading up to that. So my business had always been built by referrals and publicity. So I stopped doing a lot of that stuff. I don't know if you can relate to when things work really well and you just stop doing them because you're like, why do I have to do that now? Everything's perfect. So I stopped doing that and I started to get really focused on me, and not in a good way though, on my ego and also just living behind my phone and behind my computer and not going out, meeting people and doing all that stuff. This company completely imploded. Worst things that could happen pretty much happened. And it kind of culminated with this. People always say like I had a white light experience or a burning bush moment.
Yeah.
My life got changed by a piece of pizza. And what I mean by this is that all this stuff is happening with this company, and I am kind of relieved, but also just like miserable. And it was a Saturday afternoon. I was living in Tampa, Florida, because we had an office down there. And my daughter, I was home with my daughter. It was about 4:30, 5 o'clock on Saturday, and I'm having a phone call, the most important phone call in the world, that if you said to me right now, Chris, I'll give you $10 million, tell me who you were talking to and what you're talking about, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to tell you. Okay. Because, you know, that's how it is. Like, it seemed like the most important call, but it was bullshit. My daughter walks into the kitchen and she looks at me and she says, you know, starts to say, Daddy, I'm hungry. She was 3 at the time. Most important person in my life, but I had still said to her, 1 minute. And she knew 1 minute equals about 20 minutes, you know, 30 minutes, whatever. She was used to this.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't even connected to her, even though she's the most important person in my life. I would tell people that, but my actions didn't show that.
Sure.
She looks at me and she's like hungry. So she walks over, opens the refrigerator, takes out a piece of pizza. And I'm looking and she looks over at me like, are you going to do anything about this, buddy? Like, you know, this isn't how it's supposed to go, right? And I'm just kind of watching outside of my eye, and she goes over, gets a plate, and then she puts the pizza on the plate, gets a chair, pushes it over to the microwave. It was one of those high microwaves, and she starts cooking her own dinner. for whatever reason, now something like this had probably happened to me a bunch of other times before. Whatever reason, right at that moment, I realized, oh my God, the person who I love the most doesn't feel like she can count on me. I'm not even connected with her. What the hell am I doing with my life? I literally hung up the phone. I just like sat down. I was like, all right, I got to change everything. And, you know, I had pretty much lost everything. We'd invested so much money in that company, all this stuff. I'd lost everything. And I decided I'm just going to get right with myself and get right with other people. And one of the things of feeling very disconnected and realizing that so much of what I'd done that to get me there, I'd stopped doing. So I made this promise to myself. I can be a very extreme person. I made this promise to myself that I was going to start meeting with one person every day. So this was April of 2013 when I finally made this declaration. Start meeting with one person every day. So there was three rules to this experiment, which I've done up till today. I met with somebody this morning at 7:15 here in Charlotte.
Okay.
And so I meet with one person every day. Be open, honest, and vulnerable with them. Be okay with saying like, hey, I lost all my money, or, you know, whatever it was. Like, don't hide behind ego and figure out what I could do to help them. Because I had always been looking, what can I get? What can I get from it? And Then I started thinking about, what can I bring to it? So I started doing this, and I've done this, and it's, you know, over a couple thousand people at this point. And they've ranged from celebrities and billionaires and the guy who owns the New York Times, or, you know, all these different people too, you know, also people who are just starting out, or, you know, people have lost everything, because I feel like I can learn from, you know, just about everyone.
So did that, I just want to ask this question. The shift that you made to not try to get something from someone, but to really come and add value and to share your story or parts of your story authentically, am I understanding this came from this observation with your daughter?
Yes.
So help me make the connection there. What made you shift that in your thinking?
Yeah, it's a great question. So it was the thought that, all right, here's somebody where I realized that my actions or my words weren't matching up with my actions. Okay. And then also being the person that I wanted to be, was not a taker, was not somebody who was hiding behind, you know, being perfect, because that's what I had been doing. It was, you know, was hiding. I would never talk to somebody about, you know, fear. I would never talk to somebody about feeling like a fraud or an imposter or any of these things.
Right.
And I just had that realization that this is not the person that I want to be anymore. And it, for whatever reason, for with her, just being like that, seeing how I was completely disconnected from her, it led me to that. Wow. And it led me to, like, also, when I say that I had like this very specific, like, you know, it sounds like so well thought out now, I just started doing it.
Yeah.
You know, now looking back, like the rules were just do it, be open, and figure out what I could help with them. I didn't realize that at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that that was what it was. And where that really came from was talking to other people. So a big part of what had led to me being so unhappy was looking at people's highlight reels. So we have their phones and we're more connected than ever, but we're still more disconnected.
Could you explain to our audience what a highlight reel
is,
sure, really quick?
So what I mean is that with the being more connected but more disconnected is we see, so social media is always there. And, you know, for the most part, we're seeing like the best parts of people's lives.
For sure.
And I would believe that stuff. And until I started like meeting with the people that have perfect lives. And what I say perfect lives in quotes, meaning like I would see somebody, let's say like a celebrity, or it could just be somebody like in my industry or something that always seemed like everything was great. And then I would just start talking to them honestly. And then their heart would pour out and I would be like, oh my God, wow, that's really interesting that when I drop my act, you know, I allow other people to. And that's where it started to come from in terms of like just talking very openly and honestly with people, was like just by trying that and seeing what happened. Like it was an accident, but you know, now as a result, like I'll be in like a Starbucks line and I'll start talking to somebody and like somebody will say, like, start talking to me and be like, I've never told anyone this in my life, but
it's fascinating.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm sure you know the same thing. Sure. And I think it's when you, and I'd never really done that. I had never, so I, even though I had been very connected and had all these different groups of people, I never really, I always wanted people to see what I wanted them to see. I didn't want them to see everything because, like you were talking about before, maybe they wouldn't like me. So, you know, maybe they wouldn't like me. And if they didn't like me, that meant that I was worthless.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's interesting to listen to you tell that story because, you know, I too, when I was younger, I would see these people that were super successful, some in business, some celebrities. And, you know, my imagination said that, you know, they had money, they had the hot girl or the hot guy, the, you know, everything was perfect in their lives. And then as I became more successful and I started to meet these people, a lot of them would completely let their guard down around me. And I would see authentically who they are and who they were struggling with. And in the beginning, I was shocked. And, you know, because I'm thinking to myself, well, these people are perfect and their life is so much more put together than mine is or whatever. And then you find out like, oh, it's a disaster. Like, holy shit, they're really struggling. They really got some problems going on here. And some of the few times that I've worked with celebrities was when they ended up in real trouble, like they ended up in jail, you know, for drug or alcohol abuse or hitting their wife and one of the cases that I worked with somebody. And I was really surprised at the humanity that they came to me with, not even really knowing who I was, but just what, you know, in their mind I resembled, probably just like that I did with them. But it's really one of the things that I think is fascinating about you since I've known you is I've watched you in different scenarios with people, and you have that ability to, people just want to be honest with you. It's like, it's almost like a relief, mm-hmm. you know. Here's somebody that I know is really successful, meaning you, and I can be completely authentic with you and tell you what's going on, and I don't feel judged. I don't feel like I'm not going to be worth enough to be able to work with you. You're not going to put me and say, no, you know, forget it. You know, you're not there yet. You know, so you don't play that celebrity game, and you work in that industry where you're around those people, you know, all the time. And your girlfriend, Jen, is, mm-hmm. you know, been around those people for years, you know, with her own celebrity. So it, you know, there's this beautiful humanity that you bring to the world. And I know that your daughter means, you know, like a tremendous amount to you. So I just want to just say, like, kudos for that, for bringing that to the, that honesty, you know, that authenticity. That's the word I think I'm looking for.
Thank you.
To other individuals.
Yeah. And I thank you. That means a lot. And I think that for me, so you get back to like, what's my mission? And one of the missions is like, directly relates to that. So one of the things I always say at my event is like, people are people are people are people. So people come to the event and we connect them and bring on all these like different high level people in the media. And, you know, say somebody's coming from like, I have somebody specific in my mind, like from Wyoming for the first time, you're coming to New York City, you're coming to this event where all these successful people and then like media and all this. And everyone's like, oh my God, they're really nervous. And I get that. Like I feel that. And so my thing is like, it's always got to be that they're going to feel amazing. And the way that I encourage them is like, be more you. And the people are like, what? That's the worst advice. I just paid this guy all his money and he's telling me to like be myself. Like, and I'm like, yeah, like be yourself. Like, so we have this like networking event, a mixer, we call it the media mixer. And like top people, like, you know, producers and, you know, from every major news organization and all this. And like, people are always very like worried, like my messaging has to be perfect. And, you know, I have to, I'm like, no, it doesn't. And then they go and they do it and like they're scared. And then all of a sudden they start talking to someone and they just have a real conversation. And all of a sudden they realize, wow, this is the person that I really wanted to meet. And I'm supposed to be so nervous right now, but I just got to know them. And they just told me that they're having trouble with their daughter. And, you know, I was able to help them. All of a sudden we have a real relationship, and they told me to, you know, send them an email, and, you know, they're going to help me. And all of a sudden it rewires them, and they're like, wow. And that's like my mission, is like the connection part, like allowing people to just see, all right, like just connect,
yeah.
Have like a real relationship, you know? And that's why I believe so much in the in-person events, just like you do. You do so much with them, is because 10 minutes in person is more than like a year. 10 minutes in person, my friend Jen Kem, who our friend, says, you know, 10 minutes belly to belly is like more than like a year of like going back and forth online.
Yeah.
Just like when I met you and Steph in San Diego, and I was like, oh my God, like I'd heard about you. I'd, you know, seen all these people that you had helped make into, you know, multiple seven figure earners, and, you know, heard about you for so long. And then I sit down, and, you know, that conversation, you know, changed everything, because I was like, wow, he's the real deal. You know, everything that I heard was real, because and it's hard to, you know, see that unless like you really can like connect with somebody and sit down with them.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. What's the, so you already said, you know, something so important was to be yourself, and, there's a beauty in that authenticity when a person is just themselves and they're not trying to put on airs for somebody else or be the way that we think other people need to see us in order to be successful, but they really want that human connection. What is from a standpoint of stepping into that, what's the best advice that you could give someone to be their most authentic self?
So one of my favorite sayings is your message. So what I mean by that is that a lot of times when we're like thinking of stepping out and getting more like publicity, for example, we think everything again has to be perfect. And I see this so much, especially in like the coaching industry,
right?
Where people, like, you look at their bio and it's anything that happened before they became a coach doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't exist. So a great example of this is our mutual client, Jesse Johnson. Now, Jesse is, you know, this amazing money mindset coach, all this stuff, sales. And I remember looking at her bio and being like, hey, what did you do before? And she was at one of my events, and I said, like, Jesse, what did you do before your coach? She starts talking about how she was a high school teacher in a really rough section in the Bronx, and that she had, you know, taught meditation to the kids. And the fact, I'm like, why are you not talking about that? Like, that stuff is amazing. Like, that makes me respect you even more.
Exactly.
And that also tells me so much more about who you are and as a, you know, as a coach and all this. Why would you not talk about that? She said, wow, I never thought of it. And, you know, I think we get into these like different cookie cutters, and then all of a sudden we just, we do as everyone else is doing. And a great example of this was like restaurant websites. I don't know if you remember, restaurant websites used to always be done in a technology called Flash. And the problem with Flash is it didn't work on a mobile phone. And I remember going into all these different restaurants in New York City and be like, hey, why doesn't your website work? Why did you do it like this? That's how everyone does it. And I'm like, okay, but it doesn't work, and you need it to work on a phone more than anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not how it's done. So I think it's going back to all this stuff where I think with your message, like the different stories. So like why I'm okay with talking about, you know, losing money or, you know, gaining, whatever, is because it's a part of who I am. It's a part of my story. And for the people that are going, you know, some people might be repelled by that. This is like what you talk about. But for the people that I care about, the people that I want to work with are the ones where they're like, wow, all right, that guy's not perfect. He sounds pretty fucking ordinary, to be honest. And yeah, you know, he's in all this media and everything, like, all right, maybe that means that I can, you know, be more of myself, you know. And it might not have anything to do with media. Maybe it's just like sharing a little bit more of who you are, sharing a little bit more of the real side. But that's what's so important to me. And, you know, I think it just starts with that. Like, one of the things I always just ask people to do is just share like What's one mess? Like, what's one messy thing? Like, it's literally that simple. And it doesn't have to relate exactly to your business or anything. You know, and I just think that that's just like such an important thing.
Do you think it has anything to do with, you know, one of the things that I talk about that I think is like a disservice, and I don't think that it's really done intentionally to be a disservice, but I think that's the result of it, is that the average person sees success when it's completed, like when a person is successful, but we don't see what they went through and the transformations that they made to become successful, and realizing that they were just regular human beings and they had jobs or they're school teachers or in my case a truck driver or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, before they stepped into whatever their gift was or, you know, whatever it is that they're going to build a business around. Do you think that that's the reason why? Because, you know, we only see that at the end. It's like we only recognize people for being something in that framework of what we call success, and we're not seeing them for being authentically just human beings. You know,
it could be. And, you know, the thing that I always think about is there's always another level. So, like, my definition of success might be completely different than somebody else's.
Sure.
And there's a great story that I heard with Jay-Z. And Jay-Z was like, this is back, like, I think in somewhere in the 2000s. And he was just bought into the Nets. And he was there to meet the guy, Prokhorov, you know, the Russian oligarch.
Yeah.
And who was worth, like, you know, $50 billion or something. Jay-Z is like top rapper, you know, probably at that point had $250,000, one of the most famous people in the world. And I think they were at the Waldorf in New York. And there he's waiting in the penthouse. And he's like, all right, when am I going, you know, when's he coming up to meet me? And they're like, no, we got to take you up. He's like, what do you mean? We're at the top. He's like, no, there's another level. And he was like, damn. He's like, point taken. There's always another level,
always,
you know,
another.
So there was like a secret part to the, you know, yeah. Wherever that he didn't even know about. And I love that because, you know, I think that's always the thing. Like, we are always like waiting to get to, you know, whatever that, and when I say we, I'm talking about me, you know, to some level where, all right, now I'll consider myself successful. Now I'll be happy. And it doesn't come. So I think that it is, I think we do that. But I think we do ourselves a huge disservice by doing that. You know, in terms of like judging or like, all right, now I can't share this because I'm not successful enough, or because to somebody it's so subjective.
Right. Exactly. Cool. So, I have I'm going to put you on the spot here for a second. I decided in 2018 that I was going to make, like I was thinking about, like, what, you know, what do I want to transform next? Where am I going? What am I doing personally, business-wise? And one of the things that I wanted to make an important transformation in 2019 was my own physical health. I had... you know, part of my story is, you know, that I broke my back when I went through this dam. And that's been, like, back pain is something that's constant for me. So it's been kind of an excuse on and off, you know, throughout my career, is not to exercise. My back hurts, you know. Then it turns into, you know, you're not eating well. You're in hotels all the time. You're on the road, whatever. And I decided that, you know, enough is enough with that. And I want to make a transformation. So I also wanted to make that public, you know, let people know that this is something that I'm focused on and that I wanted to do it throughout the year. And I wanted to involve people with it through the podcast. So we set up a Facebook page called Transformation 2019. And we're letting people that just want to publicly say, hey, here's a transformation that I want to make that's important to me for 2019. Go on that page and, you know, post that. We're going to be holding each other accountable, talking about what we're going through, what we're doing, what's working, what's not working, this type of stuff. Is there a transformation that you'd like to share with our audience for 2019 that you'd like to make public?
So I love that. So I'm going to go with the first thing that popped in my mind is I think that's always the most honest. I want to care less about what people think of me.
Okay.
Now, that's a kind of a subjective or thing, but it's something that's literally the first thing that came into my head. And so that's my goal. Now, I don't know how to exactly measure that. I think it's more of an internal feeling, but that's it. So I am happy to make that public because that's something that's always been there. You know, the people pleasing side, or, I could be talking to a room of 1,000 people. And if there's one person that's, you know, looks mad or doesn't like it, like, I don't care about the 100 that just came up and told me I did great. I care about that one person. And that's not a healthy thing to be.
Right. Well, you know, one of the ways that you can measure it is to really look at the place that you're making decisions from, right? Am I making decisions because of what somebody else thinks about me, or am I making a decision because this is what I want to be, do, or have? You know, that was a real big wake up that I had for myself one time. And when I first realized that I was stepping into owning that myself, was I was having an argument with someone about success and failure. And they kept saying to me, what if you fail? What if you're wrong? What if you've made a mistake? And this was when I first started off in business. And my response, this was not a pre-thought response, but my response was, then I want to experience that. If I am making a mistake, then I want to experience that. I want to know that. I want that to be part of my life experience, and I want to own it. Because I'll never know if I don't try, right?
That.
And trying means that you're also risking failing. You're risking making a mistake, you know, making a bad call, having to take a step back and say, no, I went in the wrong direction. I need to change and do something completely different. But if I don't own that and know it myself, just listening to somebody else say, no, this is a mistake, when I feel really deep in my heart that I should be going in this direction, I'll never know it. I'll never own it. So that was a big thing, Chris.
That.
I mean, that congratulations on that one. That's a really big one.
Yeah, so I will own that.
All right, so I'm going to hold you to it. So
please
do. Go on the Facebook page and
oh, I will.
And we're gonna you'll post it.
I'm awesome. Happy to. I want to. I'm a big. I love.
Yeah.
To work on myself. Like, I'm a work in progress. The thing I always say is I work really hard to make my life easy. I do a lot
That's
of different
good.
Things to, you know, to just get to normal or hopefully better. But, you know, that's something I love. I'm glad that you asked that. So
Brilliant.
That's a big one for me.
Cool. How can people get to know more about you, get in contact with you? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, chriswinfield.com, chriswinfield.com, and or Chris Winfield on pretty much any social network, especially Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very much for doing
Thank
this.
Thank you.
This was really
so
cool.
Great. Thank you.
I can't wait to do it again.
Yes,
definitely do it again. All right, everybody. I want you to go out there and make 2019 absolutely amazing. Make sure you check out Transformation 2019 on our Facebook page, and definitely check out Chris Winfield. He is the super connector extraordinaire and the founder of Unfair Advantage Live. We will talk to you all soon on the next Successful Mind podcast. Peace out. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the Successful Mind podcast. Check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in today's episode, and while you're there, leave us a review. I read every one. Be sure to connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to my pages can be found in the show notes, and if you'd like to continue learning with me, go to davidnagel.com/startHere for a free download. I'll see you next week.